Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Love of a Mother is Like God's Love.
God's grace and His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I'd like to start today in God's great word. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, in the Ten Commandments, we read this. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So honor your father and your mother. Today, let's focus on that second part, honoring your mother, honoring women and your great dignity, how fearfully and wonderfully God has put you together and how God has so wondrously designed you as to be a reflection and a revealing of an aspect, large aspects, of His heart and character towards us in the way that He loves us. As indeed mothers love their children, how God also in Jesus Christ loves us with an amazing love. So let's take a look at these things today and see how we might honor you, how God honors you, how you're wonderfully made, and how you show us the great love of God for us in Jesus Christ, the Lord, that we might take good heart and encouragement today in our relationship with God through you. So first of all, I thought a great opening question and thing to do would be to just understand women better. That's so easy, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Now think about this. In Genesis chapter 1, totally countercultural, by the way, to today, totally countercultural. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, etc. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's totally countercultural to today, isn't it? Yes. How many genders are we up to? 400? 500? 600? 1,000? They even end their LGBTQ blah, 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 with a plus now, saying there's more that we haven't even mentioned. But according to God, according to the truth, according to reality, for those who live in reality, there's male and there's female. We're focusing on the female today, how fearfully and wonderfully you're put together. And if you just look even at a woman's body, it speaks so marvelously of the principal purpose for which you are made, namely being a mother. If you think about it, men and women are designed very differently. A woman has that womb to carry a child. So beautiful if you've experienced that. If you've not been able to have children physically as a woman, we're honoring you also today because you still have the heart of a mother as a creation, a woman of God. A woman has the breasts to give milk to her children, to raise them and nourish them in their years. And I believe you have a softer face. You know, men, kind of hard, a little more chiseled. Women, so beautifully designed with the gentler features. Women are often called to, seen as having a more emotional sensitivity to things, to have a closer in view of the world. Men kind of look at things in the distance, in the horizon. Women see things very close up. Women notice what people are wearing, right? Men have absolutely no idea, right, John? You have no idea. What is your wife wearing? You don't even know. I remember when I was taking Naomi out when she was a little toddler, and it was wintertime, and we're going to go for a little outdoor jaunt in the wilderness. Beth's like, where's her coat? I'm like, does she need one? I don't notice these things. I don't think about these things. Women are designed for seeing things that are closer in, the things that are needed for their children, needed for their families, needed for their home. And it's a marvelous thing to behold. Fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a writer, Christian writer, Stu Weber, I read years ago. He said, men are kind of like God's pickup truck. You ever hear that? We're sort of a little rougher, hardy in the outdoors, strong, not a whole lot of maintenance. If you lift up the hood, Neil, and you look under into us, Vivian knows this, what's in a man's brain? We've got something called the nothing box. We love that one. Yeah. That's why we go fishing. Remember that story? We can sit and think about nothing. Women can't just sit and think about nothing. You know, we're very simple inside. You know, he's kind of like a pickup truck. It's somewhat easy to understand. Women, it's sort of like you lift up the hood. It's a Maserati. It's like a very carefully designed, a fine-tuned, a polished machine. Much more complicated and just absolutely marvelous. But men and women are indeed distinct and different. Good thing we're the same species. Beyond that, it seems like the differences are many, but fearfully and wonderfully made, both men and women, and especially women, for mothering and for having, if you're not a physical mother, to have the heart of a mother towards others. What a blessing you are in showing us the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Men show that as well, but we're talking today about women. And let's talk about how women, you, so wonderfully show us God's great love for us in Jesus. Number one, what did you do for your children? You gave them birth. And so also God gives us birth in Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit. Think about how you gave birth to your children. They grew up in that secret place, in that tool workshop of God, that very special place where He knit us together. You have the ability, amazingly, to form all kinds of stuff. A placenta, to feed your children. Your oxygen gives oxygen to the child. That's amazing. Your blood takes away their waste products. You nurtured them. And how many weeks, basically, does a woman carry a child? 40. Do you know 40? Come on, that comes up everywhere in the scriptures. 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years, 40 this, 40 that. You are a walking Bible. Your body is functioning on a cycle of God's great number. You are amazing in God's sight. And think about this in Psalm 139, speaking of what you do. For thou, God, didst form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, O God. You know it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes saw my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Isn't that beautiful? And now we have emojis today put out by whatever Google says men can get pregnant. That's ridiculous. These people are demonic and nuts. It's women who do these marvelous and amazing things, and we give you the honor for it today because you're showing us how God has done the same thing for us in Jesus Christ by the Spirit. You gave birth to children and gave them life. God gives birth to us by His Spirit to give us eternal life. You gave your children citizenship in earth. He, by His birth, gives them citizenship in heaven. For truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, unless one is born, say the word born.
Born.
Again, you got to have a second time. Oh, I didn't mean I say that word again. I'm going to say the first word again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So we're born in Jesus Christ by His Spirit through the gospel in the waters of baptism, born of water and the Spirit. And Jesus, when He came, it says, to all who received Him, this is faith, we're saved by through faith, who believed in His name, He, Jesus, gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you women, dignity, honor, blessings, praise be upon you today for showing us how God also has given birth to us in the Holy Spirit through the gospel. You made your children to live, have life and citizenship here. God gives us citizenship by His Spirit in the heavenlies for eternal life. Happy Mother's Day, oh mothers, thank you. Secondly, think about this, that when you gave birth to your child, you had great joy over your child. In a way that God, we must know, has joy over you. Do you believe that? That God really joys in and delights in you, or is he just sort of put up with you as some cosmic Scrooge, lawgiver, and he just barely accepts you? No, you women are showing us that the love and joy God has for us is the same as you have for your child, even far better. Jesus says in John chapter 16, when a woman is in travail, in labor, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she's delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the sorrow for joy that a child is born into the world. Did you experience that? I know when Beth was giving birth to Naomi, you know, she had some difficulties. She had sideways muscles, but no downward pushing muscles. So Naomi was in there like an accordion for like a month, like going back and forth. Eventually, they had to do a C-section. And I'm there with Beth. She's they're doing the C-section behind the curtain. I said to the anesthesiologist, can I see? He says, you don't want to. But then out comes, the anesthesiologist says, it's a girl. And Beth goes, it's a girl? Oh, it's a girl? It's a girl. I mean, she was having joy overflowing, even though she's still open. I mean, she's not even sewn and put back together yet. And yet the joy way overwhelmed any anguish and trouble that she was presently experiencing for the joy of her child. And you know what? You women are showing in these things the great joy that God has for us, his children, when he births you in Jesus Christ. How greatly he delights in you. Do you believe that? I think we often don't, but we should. What man of you, Jesus says, having 100 sheep if he's lost one, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, being so sorrowful. No, rejoicing. This is my sheep that was lost and it's found. Come, my neighbors, come rejoice with me. And he says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons, righteous persons, who need no repentance. Believe today, as a woman rejoices over her newborn child, even far greater does your God rejoice over you in Jesus Christ. Believe it. He delights in you. He delights in his people. Isaiah 62 says, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God, for the Lord delights in you. So shall your God rejoice over you. So I want you to go out today and enjoy that God has joy in you. He's not just putting up with you. He actually loves and delights in you as his people, as a woman does her child, and even far greater. So thank you, women, for that. Next, no sooner are we born of our mothers that what's the first thing they begin to do? Feed us and provide for us so that we don't stay children forever, but we grow up into full maturity. You know, if a woman gives birth, it's said that a child immediately already knows its mother's voice and language. Isn't that cool? And that the child will recognize and prefer its mother's face to any other face from 12 to 36 hours after birth. That's my mom. In the same way, we know our father's voice. And we delight in his face more than any other, amen, as his children. And there's a bond between mother and child at birth as she begins to nurse and to give life to the child. In the same way God does over us. Look at what we see even in the Old Testament. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its feathers, the Lord alone did lead him, Israel, and there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he ate the produce of the field and he sucked honey out of the rock, oil out of the flinty rock, and milk from the flock. Isn't that great? So God, like a mother, after giving birth to you, provides for you, feeds you, nourishes you, and especially through the preaching of his word. We read that Paul says, I fed you, the church, with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. So when I'm giving you these words, this is not really me. This is God, like a mother, feeding you milk and food that you grow up to be mature, full children in Christ. Like a nurse taking care of her children. We were gentle among you, says Paul. And his gifts, God's gifts to us, were that some should be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. So he's feeding you, counseling you, providing for you, nurturing you, nourishing you today and every Sunday and every day of the week to grow you up till you get maturity in Christ. You look like your elder brother, preeminence, Jesus Christ, that you no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together with every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. God loves you. He's raising you as a mother would raise her children. So God is raising you to be strong sons and daughters of God. Next, what else does a mother do? A mother protects her child. Amen? There is a special bond and powerful courage and zealous defense mechanism wired into women. Have you experienced this? If you look into nature, you've got this mother bird, swallow or sparrow. She takes on a fox, greater in strength and power than she, with great vengeance and protection to defend her chicks, doesn't she? I mean, it's just in a mother to do such a thing. This is also seen in Beth again. Hi, Beth. When Beth was pregnant with Naomi, I remember we're at seminary up in New England, Gordon Conwell Seminary, and we were walking up the stairs of our dorm one time, and I just stumbled slightly and bumped against Beth while she was pregnant. Wham! She slaps me. And I'm like, what? What'd you do that for? And she's like, I don't know. It just came over me. You're not going to hurt my baby. I'm like, whoa. Wow, this is weird. You know, but she just has had a motherly instinct. We protect, you protect your children. I remember the story I read once. This is a real story in Yosemite in California. There was a guy taking pictures, wildlife, of a mother grizzly bear and her cubs. While he was doing so, a cougar, a mountain lion, came up and attacked him. He was wearing a backpack, and unfortunately for the lion, had grabbed his backpack first, and he thought, I'm done for. This cat is on me. Before he knew what happened, the mother grizzly bear came over and slammed that cat, that mountain lion, right off the guy's back with her massive claws, walked back to her cub, and kept on going. A mother's care to protect the children. I remember when I was in first grade, I was pretty slow, because I had dyslexia, or as I like to say, slysdexia, undiagnosed, and I just had trouble. I couldn't keep up. The teacher's gonna keep me back so that I wasn't with my grade level anymore, my age level, because I was just too slow. I wasn't smart enough to go to second grade. My mom didn't like that so much. She went in there to defend her cub and slapped to the teacher, not literally, but said, you are by no means keeping my son back. He will be raised in his age group. I'm telling you, don't ever get between a mother and her children. And more so, don't ever get between God and His. Because women, He's put it into you because you're in His image. That's something, a character of God that He's put specially into you, His own characteristic to defend His people. If you're afraid of the things that are going on in the world today and the bullies and the bears and the wolves that seemingly are in our world, don't be alarmed. You have a mother grizzly bear. You have a father who is king, who is saying, don't get between me and my children. And He will swat them out like a little fly, a wet dish rag. Jeremiah said, I hear many whispering terror on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Watching for my fall. And they sought his destruction. But he said, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. Let that be your heart today, knowing that God watches over you like a mother grizzly bear, her cubs, even greater in fury and in a great outstretched arm to defend you. You won't get between him and his children twice. Also, think about a woman's great reflection of God's love in how merciful and quick to forgive she is. You know, maybe not all mothers are this way, but you have a more, listen to that, have a more quick to forgive, merciful heart, often, it seems, with your children than men to comfort. I remember when I was a little boy and I was one time tossing acorns against the house. And I was hitting the window. I thought that was kind of fun. And I thought, that's fun. Hey, let's try a pebble. I try a pebble and crack, and the thing breaks. Who do I go to, by the way, do you think, to find the initial judgment? Mom or Dad? I go to Mom. And she's compassionate. She's merciful. She said, but we will have to talk to your father when he gets home. Of course, he was very kind too about it, so that was great. But you go first, usually, to the mother, because she's softer, quicker to forgive, always ready to comfort. So also God with us. Return, faithless Israel, says the God, your God. I'll not look on you in anger. I'm merciful, says the Lord. I'll not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you've rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among strangers under every green tree, and that you've not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O faithless Israel, says the Lord. I'm your master. I'll take you one from a city and two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. For as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Isn't that neat? That God takes a mother's comfort for her children and says, in the same way shall I also comfort you and bring you to rejoicing. Just come back to me. Acknowledge your guilt, and I will forgive you quickly. Jesus says, come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, refreshment, build you up. And when we do, we can say with the psalmist, I've calmed and quieted my soul like a child quieted at his mother's breast, like a child that is quieted is my soul. So thank you, mothers, once again, for reflecting God in mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And also, when we do go astray and we feel that God forgets us and that we are cast off, a mother's love continues, and so also God's. How long, O Lord, Psalm 13, says David, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? When we feel like God is cast us off and we're not his, and he's distant and he's angry with us, God says, and we say, the Lord has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. God's answer in Isaiah 49 is, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should no more have compassion on the fruit of her womb? Is that possible? God says, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I've graven you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Take heart. Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God remembers you always. His love continues and abides. He is his steadfast love, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So a woman's love for her child, her sucking child, so also in a greater and far greater way is God's love for you. Be assured of it today. And one more. A woman makes us a home. Amen. Fathers, men, give houses. Women give homes. I remember in college, if you look at a guy's dorm room, it's just blah. There's nothing there but a bench, a cot, and a bed. That's it. A woman's room, it's all decorated. You make houses into homes. You nest, if you will. And God, as our Father, has given us a house. Number one, in my Father's house are many rooms, says Jesus. For weren't so, what I've told you, that I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. But not only a house, but also a home. For to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. This is a house and a home with every delicacy, every delight, adorned in every refreshment, decorated for your pleasure and comfort and fulfillment eternally. We thank you, mothers, for giving us homes, and we thank you, God, for giving us a house and a home in Jesus Christ. Author John Killinger once wrote of the love of mothers, "A love of a mother is stronger than steel, softer than down, more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity." Thank you, mothers, for such a love as this, and thank you, God, for that great love you have for us, reflected in the mothers we have. So, conclusion then today, I want to thank and honor you, all women today. Whether you've physically had children or not, you are mothers. You are glorious and beautiful in God's sight. And even if we've had mothers at times, as we all are sinners, have failed in any of these things, I want you to know God never does. He is perfect. He's our Savior. He loves you. And he says to you this in Isaiah 46, concluding with this, "Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. I, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you, and I will save you." In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "The Love of a Mother is Like God's Love," a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and we're covering the book of Romans. Grace Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
As a child, I remember things that just can't be explained away. On the journey, hear unseen things they seem to appear. Maybe I